Morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J, here at 7:04. We are joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Hebhager.
Good morning.
We wish you all a good start to your week, to your morning. It's a short week, everybody.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Whatever's going on this week, when you got stresses, when you got things piling up or whatever, remember, you have a day, an extra day in this week.
Yeah.
There's a holiday in there, I believe, too. But it's a day off. That's what I'm focused on. Plenty more things to talk about considering that holiday and everything. We got turkey talk we got to do today. Along with that, we've got, of course, our usual unusual suspects throughout the show. In this hour, we'll get into our National Day of calendar, 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And in the 9 o'clock hour, the kitchen will be open.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will.
Beth and Melissa will have their cooking show that we'll get into. Looking forward to that, talking food, all that. And then, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour as well, good stories. Then a write stories. We'll throw some entertainment news in there as well. We even have some audio stories.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't. I hopefully that works out well on Melissa's end because it comes in on kind of the same feed as Melissa's.
Oh, this will be interesting. So either,
we either blast Melissa's ears out or. I have to apologize, guys. I'm a little off, taken off guard today. I thought Melissa heard me. I told her, look, you can take a couple days off.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing her in the show this past week, and I'm like, look, you need some time off.
She does.
Just take a little bit of time. That's all. I'm a little surprised
She's
to have you here today,
Mel.
She's
too dedicated.
She is.
Well, you know. It's a Monday.
It is a Monday. And she probably, if you're anything like me, Melissa, after a while of doing this job, and as we were talking about just a little bit ago, Melissa's been with us over a year now. You wake up at this time anyway. You might as well work. You're wide awake.
It's the usual routine.
Yes.
So, yeah, just up and at them.
How was your weekend, Mel?
Good. It was long-ish.
I can't imagine why.
A lot of anticipation for the shows, and then once they were done, just kind of a, I don't know. I don't know if I've breathed a sigh of relief yet or not, but relaxing day on Sunday, so that's good.
Usually takes me about a week. At the very least, to kind of come down from a show or kind of like let it set in, take it all in, dissect it, any of those things. So as Melissa, as touching on there, she was in a one-woman show this weekend, All the Ways to Say I Love You, studio theater production with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. She had a show Friday, Saturday. Friday, Seth and I went to the show, and a bunch of other people, obviously. Melissa, Beth, did you go to
Saturday?
Okay,
yep, I was there on Saturday night, and she did a phenomenal job.
Oh,
if you didn't
you.
Go, you missed out on quite the show.
Yeah, Mel did nice work. She was okay. No, my God. It's one of the better performances I've seen in probably the last 20 years. At least.
Wow. Thanks,
at least. And easily one of the best one-person shows I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It's not.
That's high praise coming from you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm just reading what you wrote down here. Act excited. I'm so excited. No. Honestly, this wasn't what Melissa did this weekend was not easy perform. Well, I think that anybody out there, whether you've acted or not, even if you've never seen a play before, you can understand that a one-person show, it falls on them. It's all on their shoulders, the dialogue, carrying the scenes, all that. That alone, I think anybody could have respect for that, hey, this person went and did that and everything. The fact that she did it with an edgier script, a script that is not, I've seen other actors shy away from who are paid to do this for a living. And honestly, just knock it out. What I there's so many things I can't wait to talk to you about with the show, Melissa, and I'll talk your ear off of when you have a good day to put aside, and I can bug you for 24 hours. But
I'm
just
looking forward to it.
Publicly, I have to tell you how blown away I was and how just damn impressed I was with you. It's not very often I've been telling anybody that I can. You know, one of the cool things I think about community theater is that you have this great mix of people who are doing this because it's maybe fun or they never got a chance to do it before. They want to try something new. They just want to be in their community and add to it or something. And you have people that are insane like me, and we're on the way extreme of the measure and everything. And you have this group of people in there who are somewhere in between. mm-hmm. who this means a little something more to than your average person to, but this isn't necessarily their day job. This isn't necessarily something that they're looking to do for a living or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they still put the same dedication into it that people like insane people like me do. So they can have a balance. And Melissa, I've seen you act a couple of times. I knew you were good. It's part of the reason why I went to the show, to be honest with you. I'm not going to go to I'll support you no matter what you do, Seth, right. Anybody around here. I don't know if I'm going to a one-person show if I don't think she's a very talented actor. I'm just being honest. Not to be a jerk here or anything, just being real with everybody.
Right.
But I go in, and I expect to see a good show, and nothing short of that. And I see an actor who is evolved. I've seen an actor who has grown in this production. You don't get to see this very often, where you get to see their evolution from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And here we saw it. And Melissa, you're on a different level now. You've taken your skill, your talent to a different level. This pushed you. Do you feel it pushed you in all positive ways? Were there some negatives to it?
You know, I feel that it definitely challenged me, for sure. I feel like I could have done more with it, to be honest. But just the having the two performances, well, in some ways I was grateful for that. In other ways, now I wish I had at least one more.
There's a lot of language in the play that I don't think that a lot of people have seen or heard on a WRCT stage before, even a studio theater stage. And I certainly are words I've never heard you say.
Right.
How did that go? Did it take you time? Because it did not sound, there was no hesitation in you. There was no, you were the character the complete time you were on that stage. Mm-hmm. And I never saw Melissa out there or anything like that. There's actually just a little, there's a scene early on where the character says she's not very musical. And I believed her. And right away I was like, oh, I definitely don't see Melissa up there because I know how darn musical
exactly.
Melissa is. And it just little things like that. But with the words, were there any, did it take you time to kind of get through those words, get to a point where you could say them as the character?
Well, I think that embracing the character helped with that. I was worried about the audience, honestly. I mean, we had multiple discussions beforehand, and I was kind of prepped for people getting up and walking out, honestly. Hmm. Just being ready for that possibility because of it being such language that is triggering for people and subject matter that can be triggering. So I kind of prepped for that just in case so that it wouldn't, you know, throw me off. But I don't know. I don't know if, because it wasn't me saying those words mm-hmm. to someone, mm-hmm. that helped. You know, I could put that barrier of this is the character talking about her life experience and her individual situation, which is not mine.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say, I was, I'm just being honest again with everybody and stuff. I was going to walk out, but it was only to have a moment where everybody looked at me. I'm not used to not being on stage. I needed some attention.
You just wanted to steal the line.
Yeah, I wanted to steal a little attention, but I got too caught up in the show and I completely forgot to do
She's
it.
That you know, good.
I was planning on doing it like 20 minutes in because I want to give her some time. But then I got all into the show and everything and I completely forgot to do it. I didn't see any hesitation from anybody out in the audience. I was really proud of that part of it too. Mm-hmm. We had a good turnout for Friday. Did you have a good turnout for Saturday?
Oh, we probably had
I think we had 18 or 19 people there.
Right on, right on. So I also wanted to just, not to wrap things up necessarily, but to kind of wrap up the conversation a little bit here, I did want to also not only compliment our co-star here, our teammate here in Melissa, but the director of the show as well.
Yes, yes.
Did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Michael Laskowski, traveling from Appleton, and I hope he made it home okay. I know he was having some vehicle issues on his way home on Sunday.
Oh, no.
So shout out to Michael, hoping he got home okay. And then I have to give a public apology and a huge shout out to Tim Youngs for running the board and doing our tech and running the box office and all that he did, because to my chagrin, I did not acknowledge him at the end of the show, and I should have. He was waiting to flicker the lights, and he didn't get to. And I'm sorry, Tim. That's my bad.
Do it again. Got to do another show.
Got to do one more.
No, Melissa is not looking forward. This is as much as I heard you say you wouldn't mind a third show. I get that feeling. Yeah, enjoy the break.
Yes.
It was very well earned. I also wanted to thank this community for supporting this show.
Yes, for showing
up. We had such a nice turnout for those two shows and prove that this theater, that to the theater, not that the theater or the board or Tim or anybody else had any necessarily doubts, but it helps to be able to put dollars and cents to your argument.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to be able to show, hey, look who came. It wasn't just, you know, Seth and James that came or something like that or whatever. Look, we had these people and this, and proving that this theater works, proving that this kind of theater, people will show up for this kind of theater. That's important to me. That's important to Tim. I'm sure to Beth, the board, you guys. Many of us that have put a lot of our blood, sweat, and tears and time into that theater have been waiting for these days. Death of a Salesman, Oklahoma, the great shows. They're wonderful. I don't know how many people nowadays are coming to see those shows.
You have to
pick and choose. You have to have this mix. Community theaters have been struggling with this for 20, 30 years. One of the ways to combat that is having a studio theater, is having something like this that can offer something else. WRCT does with the Silver Foxes, with the Hopo Productions. There's a number of things that they do this with that they get it right. And I just credit to them, credit to the community, because none of this happens without the community support. They're going to keep doing Oklahoma if that's all anybody will come and see. People are coming and seeing these other shows and that they're getting support, so more will come. And that's great. Especially for those of us who have this one-man Simpsons show that they're dying to do. and they will do it before it's all said and done. Somebody's going to see this show.
Okay.
Sam, my fur brother, has seen it a million times. And not to brag, has never complained once. Not one complaint from that dog.
And give it five stars?
Something like that. You guys humor me way too much. Beth, I'm really glad you got to take in the show, and thank you so much for supporting theater, being a part of the theater and stuff. You are, of course, going to be doing a show coming up.
I am.
You are going to be starring in. You've got your Miracle on 34th Street coming up December 9th. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. I want to talk with you more about that. How are the rehearsals going right now?
Rehearsals are going really well. We're at the point now where we're all trying to get ourselves off book, so we can really focus more on the action and the dialogue and the meaning behind it. So, but rehearsals are going extremely well. Again, it's a good eclectic mix of people that you haven't seen before and people that are regulars on the stage. And everyone is just knocking it out. It's going to be so much fun to watch.
Do you enjoy being a part of a big production? Like having a big cast, like something like this?
It's different. You know, going from chapter two, where there were only four of us in the cast, and really getting that intimate bond to a group of 23 where we can just have fun. I mean, we're constantly saying to each other, we need to quiet down in the back. We need to quiet down in the back. Because we're having so much fun with each other off stage that we forget, oh, there's something going on stage. So so it's a different type of atmosphere, but yeah, it's so much fun.
Good to hear. That's very good
awesome.
To hear. And we cannot wait to see the show. Glad to hear that the lines are coming together well. That sounds good. And everybody's enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
That's very cool to hear. I had a moment Friday. I was all prepared to give Seth a ride home. He's you guys are only about 2 minutes away from the theater.
Right.
So why not and everything? And I was looking forward to it because, it'll be Seth's and it'll be my chance to talk his ear off about Melissa's performance and everything. I was so excited to talk to somebody about it, especially somebody like Seth we share a brain and all that stuff and everything. And then he didn't need a ride home.
No, because we were all at the theater.
And I completely forgot that you guys were all there. And I am not proud to admit this, but I will between you two. But don't tell anybody else. Please don't tell Seth. I had a good 20 seconds there where I was Charlie Brown.
Aww.
I'm like, okay, but my friend doesn't want me to give him a ride. He doesn't want to. I mean, it's like he can't be around me for 2 minutes. Wait a minute. Is his wife here? I knew that. I knew that. I completely understood. I was not taking it personal or hurt or anything like that. commercial break. Yeah, we should probably go. Glad to hear that the rehearsal is going well. How was services yesterday and the chili cook-off? Chili cook-off.
I wish it was a cook-off. Yeah. No, it was a crazy busy weekend for us. You know, Friday night, while Melissa's show was going on, we also had rehearsal for the other show, for Miracle. And then Saturday, our church had our chili feed. It was the first one that we've done at this location, and because one of the other congregations in the country used to do it.
Oh.
And it went better, considering the weather, which was not cooperating with us on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We did an extremely good job. And those that came really enjoyed the chili. There was a good camaraderie going on. We did have some leftovers that we were able to sell to the congregation yesterday morning.
Good.
And if you're interested, let me know that we may be able to sell a little bit more. And then yesterday, morning worship went extremely well. It's the last Sunday before Advent starts. So trying to get all those things tied up and wonderful atmosphere. And then last evening service, because there was a Thanksgiving service that happened last night. It was hosted by Grace Lutheran, and that was well attended and went extremely well, and can be found on their church website as well. So that will get posted, and we'll eventually get a link from our website to that site, so that if you missed it and want to have an opportunity to have a worship as a part of your way of thanking whomever you want to thank during Thanksgiving, this is a way to do that.
Very cool.
Awesome.
And you can find out more, if you'd like, going to WRMoravian.org. It's all one word, WRMoravian.org. Be sure to like their YouTube page as well, and just type in Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church into your YouTube search bar. Like their page. I know my dad does. We'll take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar and have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:23 on the clock. It is November 21st, 2022, and it's time for Melissa, Beth, and James to get into the National Day of Calendar. And it's National Stuffing Day.
It's a couple of days too soon.
It was a little early. It's a little early on this one.
Gotta be Thursday. Come on.
I don't know. I think every day should be Stuffing Day, personally.
Stuffing is really good.
Homemade or really boxed?
I like both.
Okay.
I'm not sure, honestly. I just started eating like stuffing on a regular basis like about 4 or 5 Thanksgivings ago, and I'm still just enjoying stuffing. I'm just, and mad at myself it took me this long to enjoy it. I guess I haven't really had somebody tell me this is this made. I'll have to try.
And there's so many varieties out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are so many recipes for stuffing, but some of them aren't so great.
Yeah, this is true.
It is also, it's not False Confession Day. No, it is False Confession Day.
What is a false confession?
Confession, it is said, is good for the soul. However, nowhere does it say that the confession has to be true. Yes, it does, actually. Otherwise, why would it wouldn't feel good to the soul?
It's called a lie. So is today National Lying Day?
False Confession Day is your opportunity to tell an absolute whammy, a huge joke, a serious falsehood of your or of your favorites, a truth disguised as a lie. If you like making things up, that will make your friend's head spin. This is a day for that, I guess?
Apparently. Okay.
They got other things on
this. I thought that was April Fool's Day.
I thought so, too. And I don't see the real point of this day.
I don't like a day that tells you to lie.
Yeah, not to take it over seriously or anything, but it kind of does, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, there's a silly reason to do this. Tell a story to, work your imagination, push your creative funny bone to a degree or something like that. This is just, like, lying for the sake of lying. I feel like I'm missing something here. Yeah. Like, there's a page in the book, like, or whatever. Like,
if you do this, at least let them know at the end, I was just kidding.
I just
made that up.
Yeah,
or maybe preface it with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you a false confession.
Maybe just focus on some of the other days. At first, I thought, wait a minute, do they just not have enough things to celebrate? They got to throw something in there. They got plenty of things for today. So, all right. Well, one that is much more is better and much more important. If you want to take part in a historical tradition, National Red Mitten Day may be your day. The day is all about supporting Canadian athletes and helping them prepare for the Olympics by buying red mittens to show off your Canadian pride. And it's something that is very huge in their country. I think it's been going on since like the 17th century or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Having a number of Canadian friends growing up and everything, this was a big one for them.
Okay.
They usually buy new mittens for this. Like, even if you had a pair from last year, you'd buy a new pair.
So it's not just about wearing the red mittens.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like showing, not only showing the support, but I think there is financial, like, money that goes to this and stuff, too.
So I shouldn't ask Melissa to kind of crochet me or make me a pair of red mittens?
I think it still counts. I think it still counts, yeah. It is World Hello Day.
Hello.
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 World Hello Day may sound extremely basic, as it encourages us to take the opportunity to simply greet people. Goodbye. I mean, hello. Darn it. Darn it. Dang it. I mess it up every time.
Aloha. Then you got it covered.
Line.
Yes.
Line. Line.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Hello. The story of how it came to be, however, is long and an interesting one. World Hello Day was first created in 1973 in order to show people, especially the people of the Middle East, that conflicts can and should be resolved through communication, not violence. The idea is that clear, honest communication breeds peace. In the 1970s, the conflict between Egypt and Israel was quite severe, and many people began to fear yet another huge war would end up coming of it. World Hello Day was, in fact, created as a direct response of the Yom Kippur War that had just finished in October of 1973, during which thousands of both soldiers and innocent civilians were killed. Some soldiers had been tortured and flat out executed. The peace discussion at the end of the war was the first time that Arab and Israel officials met for direct public discussion in 25 years. If there is any hope for any true extended peace in the Middle East, many people that know much more than I do about this subject will tell you that these were the beginning days of it. Mm. That these were the first times. Now, this is not the first time, though, in history that that Muslims and Jews worked together. Right. And found some common ground. It's actually a number of different beautiful stories in history, sometimes, unfortunately, coming against the Crusades and things like that. But still, them joining forces, there being some peace between these two faiths and these two groups of people and everything. Mm-hmm. And there is a much more going on with that. Now, that doesn't mean that there's obviously a bunch of horrible things still going on. I am a proud Jew. I'm a proud, you know, I have relatives that were born and raised in Israel. Mm. I do not like the way that Israel treats Palestine. I don't like Palestine the way Palestine treats Israel either. Right. But there's a huge difference between Israel and Palestine and the money and the weaponry that they have. And that is a very long discussion, but these discussions only can happen now in the open public with open dialogue thanks to things like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
World Hello Day seems a little silly maybe to some and simple. It is not. It is a huge day, actually. And it speaks to something that, think about this. If you don't, why is he talking about the Middle East? What does that have to do with me and everything? And I'm not going to get into gas prices and importing things or anything like that. Let's just look at our own country for a second. And we are in a moment in time where there is so much division and so mm-hmm. much divisiveness. Mm-hmm. If Egypt and Israel can get along,
yeah.
What is our excuse?
Right.
What is the excuse all of you have out there for not being able to get along with your neighbors and relatives and all that?
One group does not represent every single person within that group.
No, no. We were just talking about actors. Melissa is able to, you know, here's an example of this, where if Melissa and I were both political people, mm-hmm. Melissa is in this healthy area of she can do the job, she can be, you know, work the craft and still have a life and not let it obsess her and all these things. Then there's people on the extremes, like me on the extreme of acting, where I'm insane about it and I take it way too far and I can tie acting into every situation I look at in life and all these things. Like, too much of anything can be a bad thing, you mm-hmm. know, even with acting. Don't tell anybody that, though.
So World Hello Day is a reminder to be kind to each other.
Yeah.
And get to know and to who people are.
That open dialogue. Yeah. That's the only way that we can understand each other is to talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if I can add to have some faith and some belief that we can work through anything. Yes. We truly can get along with each other. World Television Day. Television. For those of us who grew up in the Western countries, a television is almost taken for granted. It has always been there in the corner of the front room, entertaining us with bright colors and sounds or satisfying our need to learn something new. The television invented by an assortment of individuals in the late 19th and early 20th century, but often attributed to John Logie Baird, who revolutionized the world. It is very easy to talk trash about the television. And we all have heard many stories, whether it's a relative telling us we're sitting too close or we're spending too much time watching TV, the couch potatoes, all these things.
Yep.
And I'm not saying any of that isn't true. But there is a reason. If it was only negative, it wouldn't be around. It wouldn't be in almost every household. And it wouldn't be so important to our world.
Right.
While I love radio, I think movies are amazing and all these different things, all these different mediums. One of the ones that we can count on, not everybody has an internet connection. Not everybody may have this or that, but most people have a TV that has at least three basic channels
to it. Most people probably have multiple TVs.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to reach, just looking at our country, let alone the world, you want to reach people, what is a quick way to do it? TV.
Mm-hmm.
The moon landing is a perfect example of this. I don't know. I think that when we talk trash about TV, what we're really doing is projecting.
Mm.
What are we really saying about ourselves? Because the TV didn't turn itself on. The TV didn't put a content on it. It didn't create content for it. It's just a device. It's so easy to, the internet's evil. The cable's horrible. Like it's so easy to do those things. Let's take some personal responsibility here.
Because you choose what you take in.
Right.
Right.
And how you use the devices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose what you're watching on television, so it's just celebrate that you have a television.
I'm really excited because, from what I understand, the kitchen's open today. You guys knew that it's National Gingerbread Cookie Day, so you guys made a bunch of gingerbread cookies for us in the audience. I understand. Am I reading my notes wrong? No, that's not what happened. Not even. Why are you guys laughing? Why are you guys? It is National Gingerbread. We actually have a great topic for Kitchens Open. Listen for that in the 9 o'clock hour, everybody. It is National Gingerbread Cookie Day, though. Yeah, gingerbread cookies are great. Gingerbread cookies have soft and chewy insides with a hint of a crispy outside. Often they are decorated and pipe frosting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You guys make these?
It's been a while.
I've never made gingerbread cookies.
Yeah.
But they're delicious.
Yes.
I haven't made these. I think that's one of the few cookies I have not made. I shouldn't say it that way. It's one of the few cookies my mother hasn't made that I didn't help her make. Ooh, that one. I could have gotten in trouble for that one.
Yeah, that was close.
When the Crusaders brought ginger back from the Middle East, they likely had no idea that this gnarly root would ultimately wind up being such an important part of Christmas baking traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have made ginger snaps.
Oh yeah. No, my mom's made those too.
Similar to gingerbread cookies, but
I didn't think of that.
Shaped like a gingerbread man. They're just round.
Yeah.
Some stories reveal that gingerbread arrived in Europe sometime around the 10th century when Gregory of Nicopolis, an American monk, invested some time in teaching French bakers how to make it. Interesting.
Ginger is an awesome spice. It is so yummy in so many different recipes, but it's yummy in cookies too.
Absolutely.
Very versatile. We'll take a break right here. We'll play Melissa's news. We'll come back and get into a couple of fun things, including something about a gingerbread house.
Ooh.
Yeah, coming up on mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good start to your week out there. Happy Monday, everyone. Let's get going. James, Melissa, Beth here. We got some fun stuff to dive into. I do want to let everybody know, because thanks to our friends at Quality Foods, we were able to grab qualifiers with our turkey trivia all last couple of weeks. And today the announcement is going to be made. And I thought we were going to do this out of pulling it out of a hat. We've been telling everybody we're going to put it out of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a late message on Friday. So I'm just going to read this from here, from Steph. our head of sales and marketing, Steph and Ashley, our new partner over there with sales and marketing. They are going to be at Quality Foods this morning about 8:30 to pull the winner on location. They're going to be on Facebook Live, so if you have not already done so, be sure to type into your Facebook page, WFHR, like our page, and follow along as they make the announcement. They do this live on the air.
Wow, awesome.
They should be able to get it to us before the show wraps up at 9, in theory. Hopefully they will. If not, we do have Playmakers today on, and we can, of course, get it in there. And then on tomorrow's show, we'll be sure to reference it. We'll mention it on tomorrow's show either way, the person who wins this free turkey. But be listening for that. And, of course, do take a listen to Playmakers today. Randy Paul going to be in with us. Going to be looking forward to having Randy join us. And also looking forward to having Mr. Bob Brickhauser join us today. This is going to be really fun. Randy let me know the other day that Bob Brickhauser is going to be joining us to talk about the Cranberry Classic going on in Assumption.
All right.
Looking forward to that. That is going to be fun. Plenty more to talk about because we want your calls, sports thoughts and feelings. It's your call-in show, everybody. Get ready to call up for Playmakers as when we get done with the morning show here. And a shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring that show. So we were talking gingerbread before, right?
Yeah.
Well, toaster pastries don't have the same structural integrity as gingerbread, so this might be tougher than it sounds. But Kellogg's wants people to make gingerbread houses out of Pop-Tarts this year. And whoever makes the best one wins just $15,000.
Wow.
Ooh, hey, that's worth it.
They announced it with a fake listing on Zillow.
Fake listing.
Yeah, yeah. The example.
Well, it's false confession day.
Wow, nice tie-in, Beth. Nice. The example they built is hard to beat. It's a 4-bed, 2-bath home that's fully furnished, even with the bathtub and toilet lid are Pop-Tarts.
Oh my goodness.
Along with the photos, you have to tag Pop-Tarts on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag gingerbread Pop-Tart entry. You can also draw your design, which sounds easier if you got those skills. They claim you can still win that way. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
That's a really cool idea. The cutoff is the end of the day on December 16th. You can check out the full rules at poptarts.com/contest.
Does it have to be the gingerbread flavored Pop-Tarts? Or can it be a variety of flavors?
You know, I think it can be. Doesn't look.
Yeah, because then you have color options.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I almost guarantee that it can be. So let's, because this is, I mean, it looks fun and everything like that. First up, have either of you ever built a gingerbread house?
Oh, we do every year with the boys, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I've never done it before. I've always wanted to. So it always seemed fun to me. So that part has me pulled in already.
Well, and there are so many kits out there that you can buy. In fact, I saw one with Mario. I saw one with the Peanuts Gang. I mean, there's many out there.
Mm-hmm. This is a really nice prize. I mean, 15 G's, you know, that's not bad at all. And maybe you get it before Christmas.
Right? Wow. Even better.
And I have to say, because I don't know. I feel like I pick on advertising and marketing more than I should. But when you work in the industry, when you come from a lot of the industry and stuff, you have a bar. And I think that we should have a bar as consumers to not just take whatever's handed to us, you know, commercial-wise or anything like that. I love this advertising. Like, that they did it on Zillow.
Yeah.
What a great tie-in. Think about one of the first things they'll tell you in advertising is, all right, we have these people. We know we have these people. How do we get that fringe people? Or how do we get people from this group or that group or whatever? There's probably, you know, realistically some crossover between people who use Zillow and people who like Pop-Tarts. There's bound to be some crossover. Right. But there's not a huge crossover. It's not as if the two worlds collide all the time or anything. So by the slimmest of chances, you're able to grab somebody who, the next time they're looking for a home, maybe they are on Zillow. Or the next time they want a breakfast food that's really quick to eat, maybe they want a Pop-Tart.
Right.
There are layers to this that are very well done from a advertising standpoint.
Well, most often you store your Pop-Tarts in your home. So.
Yeah.
That's a good place to keep them. Exactly.
Seems like it. Seems like a good idea. I don't know. I think that's pretty fun. If you had the time and the patience to do, would you tackle something like this? Would you, Melissa? Would you?
Well, sure. Why not? Yeah. Building gingerbread houses is fun.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest challenge is making sure that you have frosting that will dry quick enough and sturdy enough to hold your house up. That's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Beth, would you do this?
I'd probably try, but I am terrible at decorating gingerbread houses and getting them together.
Why does that make me laugh so much? I just would never expect that from you, I guess. I do.
For me, it's all about the fun of doing it with my boys and the memories that get made from it. I tell people I'm artistically challenged. So I have all these wonderful ideas in my head, but I can never make reality out of what's in my head.
I can relate to that.
Which
very
is probably
much.
A good thing in a lot of circumstances. So
I'm actually sneaky artistic. I really am. I'm just very bad at it. I'm just really, really bad at it. Since I was a little kid, I've loved drawing, but I'm just no better. I've been drawing since I was a little kid. Now I've not practiced and worked at it or anything, but I genuinely don't believe I'm any better than I was when I was like 6 years old drawing a stick figure or anything. I really think that it's actually the same. Whenever I'm around little people and they're drawing, you know, just coloring a picture or anything like that, I will look over at what they're doing. And there's a twinge of me that I'm not proud of. This is like, that ain't fair. Why are they so much better at this?
I wonder if part of it is because they don't care. They're just doing it to do it. And we do it with, we judge ourselves while we do that. So, you know, I'd try it. I don't think I'd ever win it, but I think it'd be fun to try.
It does seem like it'd be fun to try.
Yeah. Decorating them is enjoyable.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We have a fun one to get into. 5 tips for transporting Thanksgiving food.
Okay.
Ooh. Coming up, Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 7:50 on the clock. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. I have 5 tips for transporting Thanksgiving food.
All right.
If you're heading to a potluck, going to a relative's, or just basically traveling with, that casserole or anything like that, how do you transport it? Well, there's a bunch of different ways. Here are 5 tips to do so. And I kind of would love us to all be able to throw in our feedback on this, if this has worked for us or if this is something we would try as well.
Okay.
So number one, freeze food that's delicate. Just make sure you leave time for it to fully thaw out. Things like pumpkin pie freeze well, too. Then it won't melt in your car.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. That's a good idea.
Never tried that, but makes perfect sense.
If it's a long drive, use a cooler, especially for stuff that can spoil. More than 2 hours at room temperature increases your chances of food poisoning. So far, it seems like they're treating this a little bit like you're traveling over state lines a little or something.
I don't know many people. A few hours.
Yeah. I don't know many people that necessarily do that, but there are plenty of people that do, I'm sure. Use bungee cords to keep lids on, meaning things like crock pots. It'll keep things from spilling if you hit a bump. If you don't have bungees, use tape.
Yeah.
My father would be the first one to tell you that bungees are great and all, but duct tape is your best friend. The more you can use duct tape, the better it is. And as a side note, I'm a big fan of duct tape, and I'm a fan of all the different versions of it. I am a little upset that my father is, in retirement and everything, and not one of these companies has reached out to him and thanked him for, helping keep their company. I don't know how many of them or anything. There's maybe got to be at least 1 or 2 duct tape companies that my father helped keep alive. Just his himself alone purchasing as much duct tape as he did. A thank you card. That's all. Yeah. Just a thank you card. Yeah. I think that'd be nice.
Just acknowledgement.
Yes.
Did he learn that from MacGyver?
No. My dad was doing this long before MacGyver. Okay. I wish I could blame MacGyver.
MacGyver probably got it from him.
There you go. And then that's when the rest of the world found out about it. Everything skyrocketed.
I wish I was kidding. I wish I was exaggerating. I exaggerate about his voice from time to time, but and not this one. No. My sister, she breaks her arm. My dad, who just the best dad you could ask for, goes booking out there, picks her up, scoops her up in his arms, and comes running into the house with her and everything. And my mom is freaking out, and she's going grabbing her keys to take her to the hospital. And as she's doing that, my dad looks at her straight, serious as can be. Babe, are you sure? We got a lot of duct tape.
Oh my God.
Get her in the car. Get her in the car. Get her.
Oh, could you imagine having the duct tape there with all the hair? Trying to get that tape off.
I can't even imagine. Their next tip, number four on this list, use a yoga mat. If you're worried about stuff sliding around in your trunk, put something with a grippy, non-slip surface under it. Yoga mats work great.
Perfect.
And let's be honest, you're not using them anyway. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, that is a really cool idea. I never thought
of
that.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
That's an excellent idea.
Let's see. And number five on the list. Never partially cook a turkey. Don't start it in one oven, then drive somewhere and finish it in another oven. That's a great way to make everyone sick. Yep. Ideally, the person who's hosting should be on turkey duty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This happens to me so rarely, you guys. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of somebody doing
that
before.
You don't like turkey, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. That's true. I don't think, though... this seems like such a common thing if they're putting it into this list. A lot of people do this. I don't know
a lot of people do.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a lot is a wrong term, yeah.
There are other dishes that you could do that with, that you could assemble at least and then take somewhere and bake them.
Yep.
Food safety, though, 101, you know, don't let things get to room temperature and then heat them back up. It's... Especially with meat. Mm-hmm. And you certainly don't want to partially cook meat and then not finish it for a while.
It becomes a breeding ground for bacteria, which is just going to make you sick.
Yeah. Yep. There's too many... there's just too many darn things that can go wrong cooking turkey.
Yeah.
it just seems so common to me. I mean, the first thought in my head is what are the likelihood that your oven, you're going to be taking that turkey to the same style, same brand, same all that? If I have two GE ovens, but one of them is 20 years old and one of them is 10 years old, and even if they're the same model, they're going to run differently. Which means that they're going to cook differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when 10 minutes in one oven is not 10 minutes in another oven. I mean, there's so many things. I'm not even a great, you know, I don't even do this stuff that often, and it's popping my head right away. I can't imagine somebody actually doing something like that.
A meat thermometer is definitely your friend when you're cooking meat.
Mm-hmm.
One of my biggest anxieties.
Sure it gets up to temperature.
Yeah. My biggest anxiety about the meal is undercooking the turkey and making people sick. Mm-hmm. And this is your reminder, everyone, if you haven't done it yet, take your turkeys out of your freezers, get them into the refrigerator, which is the safest place for them to thaw, not out in the open, but in a refrigerator. And today's a good day to do that so that it is fully thawed out before you try to cook it on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just as a side note, I want to remind everybody at the start of the 9 o'clock hour, the kitchen will be open. Beth and Melissa's fun show inside a show where they do an amazing job talking about things just like that. Looking at where this article comes to us from, mentalfloss.com, there's a couple of other fun things here, and you can find them again at the whole, it's all one word, mentalfloss.com. Use individual containers or muffin tins for finger foods.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that one. That's a good one. So all these I thought were really cool ideas and interesting and stuff. Sort of towards the end, just kind of bring a box.
Yeah.
Like just a box. Just bring a box. Like and stop
getting
the,
box.
Yeah, the creativity kind of went out the window. It's just kind of like what do you got around you? Everybody's got a box around. Grab a box.
Another thing that's good is a laundry basket.
Oh yeah.
That's got handles. Mm-hmm. You can very easily put multiple dishes in a laundry basket and carry it.
I've the circular ones. My mom used to do that with those. Not just with Thanksgiving stuff, but just, you know, bringing, carrying things.
Right. And I would imagine if you don't have a yoga mat, because I don't know how many of us actually have those in our homes. If you go to a dollar store, you can get the contact paper that is nonstick. So it's not just the paper. It's a different material, but it's designed so that your dishes and your cabinets don't slide around. So I would imagine you'd be able to use that in your car as well.
Yeah.
And then you're only paying like $1.25 or less.
Right. Yeah. I want to remind everybody. Did you have anything else to add, Melissa?
Nope.
Okay, just want to make sure. Just want to remind everybody that we have, of course, have our turkey giveaway going on today over at our friends at Quality Foods IGA. Join Steph and Ashley. They'll be over there at Quality Foods IGA for about 8:30 to pull the winner. I'm not sure. I believe that they're at the one on West Grand. I'm
okay.
not 100% sure. She did not say which one she is going to be at, and this is kind of a... So they'll be at one of them, but you don't have to be at the necessary... I like to encourage people to actually go to IGA.
Right.
But you can check it out on Facebook Live, of course, just like our page, WFHR, and like that page. And go ahead and find out. We'll announce the winner. And a big thank you to Quality Foods. And everybody that got their name in on this cannot wait to get somebody a free turkey.
Yes.
And, of course, we have the Green Bay giveaway going
on,
Beth.
We do. We've got two tickets to the January 1st game, Packers versus the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Now, these are club tickets, so you don't even have to be out in the cold. You get to be in a warm room. You can register at a Dropbox location for your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and will become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed into a hat, or thinking maybe a cheesehead hat, and one final winner will be selected. You could go to Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, or the Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. Now, registrations do close on the 28th. And the winner will be announced on November 30th. One registration per person per location.
Cannot wait to get somebody these tickets. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Buy local, support local, enjoy. And you know, go to and participate and purchase things at all those businesses. And thank them for us for hosting these boxes for us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR.